This is CliffCentral.com.
Well, I'm glad George is here because I wanted to tell him.
Okay.
So a lot of people who live in Benoni will have seen a track development from the highway.
Mm-hmm.
It's just off the Snake Road off-ramp on Golden Drive. A lot of people have been asking what's been going on. It looks like a track. It's now tarred, so it's very visibly a track. It's actually the Formula K, which is a type of racing. It's karting. It's the Formula K racetrack. Mm-hmm. It's being built to international standards, and it's a first in Africa. And there's a really amazing property development next to it as well, which is going to house things like conference centers and retail stores and businesses.
But this track is not just a karting track, right? It can take cars as well. That's the
cars,
difference.
Supercars. Yeah. It can take motards, which are the big new thing.
I think the important thing is that when people think about a karting track, they think about this little track.
Yes, with tires
stacked
up.
Tires stacked up. If you ever went karting before, it's not that. It's bigger than that.
Yeah.
It's a proper track.
It's you can reach really amazing speeds on it. It's very wide. I went to this track the day before yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It's still very much in the construction phase. We had to drive down because we're looking at now launching the track, so we were looking at where to pitch tents, etc. And it was
Why are you
just
gonna sleep there.
Yeah, I'm gonna sleep. I love it so much that I'm gonna sleep there. So drove my Hyundai Getz circa 2010. I drove it off the track and just parked with everybody else. Happened to arrive first. And we had our meeting, and at the end of it, the track owners said, okay, go. Drive the track in your car. So there I was in my little Hyundai Getz.
Minding your own business.
But what an amazing feeling. Just being out in the open. It's a completely different lifestyle. And we're talking about this woman who died in an accident while she was trying to break a speed record. But we were saying as well how once you're in that realm, you actually don't care.
Mm.
You just need it and you want it.
Then you die.
Damn.
Well, that's what happened to her.
I'm not laughing.
Oh, when I fly my aeroplanes, I know it can crash.
Yeah.
But the thrill for you comes where?
When it lands and you're alive. So.
Well, when the number of takeoffs equal the number of landings.
That's, you're a winner.
Okay. Just got it.
But like in the moment, and you are up in the sky.
You know what the funny thing is?
You love freedom.
When you're learning to fly and you're building up hours, mm-hmm. there's an adrenaline rush because you're not used to this. You can do it, but you don't have enough experience, and there's a thrill.
You're not in a complete comfort zone.
You're not in a complete comfort zone the entire time. And I found that when I started flying microlights. Back in 2007, and it was scary. It was incredibly scary. I mean, to the point where my arms were shaking on the controls. And then over time, as you build hours, you start to get used to it. And I think that's the point at which pilots make mistakes, is overconfidence. So then I decided, well, I'm getting used to this. I'm not afraid of the height anymore. I'm not afraid of the landing and takeoffs anymore. Let me learn to fly a different aeroplane. So, and I'd already been flying for about 7 years, and then I started flying a different aeroplane, a fixed wing, and the same emotions and feelings happened again.
So what you're looking for when you're flying a normal commercial flight is for a slightly nervous-looking pilot.
Yes.
Not an overconfident one.
Not an overconfident one. I think there's two kinds of pilots.
So the next is helicopters.
Well, that's the thing. I think people chase that feeling, because I know that once I started getting comfortable with my microlight, I didn't necessarily want to be fearful,
mm-hmm.
but the thrill wasn't there as much anymore. And I still love flying my microlight, and I still got it. But It's easy to fly. I'm not afraid of it. And sometimes you, when you're overconfident like that, you do stupid things because, oh, no, I can do that. I can fly low. I can,
done this before.
Yeah. And that's when people make mistakes.
Oh. My tummy's honestly turning at the idea.
It's a ball of anxiety.
Idea.
Sia, what were you like when you first started driving?
Yeah, I'm still a bit of a mess. I frankly admit, I don't like driving. There are some moments where I go, shucks, I just need more money in my life to have a driver. I really hate it. I don't like the experience of it. I don't like having to be so responsible for things. I still like just the thought of parallel parking to me is so frustrating that I still just wait for my back wheel to bump into the pavement for me to know, oh, now I have to turn my wheel into the parking bay.
Yeah, so we did a video to teach you how to parallel park. I'll send it to you.
Oh, I just can't.
You don't care.
Because I always think like driving school also screwed me over because at driving school you learn with the poles and they say like, yo, when you see a third pole in that mirror, this is when you should turn. In a real life example, there are no three poles. You just have to like wing it.
You're looking for the poles.
No, I love it. I mean, I don't like driving on highways with irrational people, especially taxi drivers, and funnily enough, huge trucks like Greyhounds and But when it comes to the technicality of driving and driving on a track, absolutely adore it. Love
it's
the thrill.
It's because it's new and there's that adrenaline. I mean, during the Festival of Motoring last week, I was taken around the track on Sunday morning or Saturday morning with Tasman Pepper, the W Series single seat driver, and she's a professional racing driver.
Yeah,
and she took me around the track in an RS3, Audi RS3. And I've been around the track before. I've been with a racing driver, and the idea was I interviewed her while we were driving, in the back of my mind I'm thinking to myself, do I really want to do this and distract this woman?
Yeah.
And at one corner she said to me, please can you repeat the question? I was concentrating on the corner. I said to her, please concentrate on your driving.
Yeah.
And then later that afternoon, I got another opportunity to go in a professional car, a 911 Porsche GT3, which is a track car with roll cages and all that stuff. Put a helmet on. In the RS3, I wasn't with a helmet on. That was seriously adrenaline stuff because that was a proper racing driver. And going around that track was, we entered the end of the straight at the breaking point in Kyalami at almost 250 kilometers an hour before he touched that brake pedal. And you're in the passenger seat.
Were you pressing your emergency brakes?
I think I might.
Your imaginary ones.
You're sitting in the passenger seat and this Porsche 911 is hurtling at almost 250 k's an hour and you can see the corner coming and I'm watching the speedometer, watching the corner, watching his foot and nothing's happening. Mm-mm. And I'm like, when are you going to brake?
Like, are you asleep?
And just three days before, a Ferrari 488 rolled off that corner.
Yes.
And all I could think about was, those tires are close.
Now, if you were feeling like that, can you imagine Sia?
Oh, no.
You would have been screaming.
And I'm used to adrenaline stuff.
Yeah.
So was that Ferrari 388 that rolled? Was it written off?
Yeah, well, I think so.
And the driver, is he or she alive?
Him and his wife were in the car, and it was a street car. It wasn't even a track car.
Mm. Oh, yeah? And, so no cages and whatever?
No, the brakes failed. They're both fine. She was in a little bit of a state, but...
And they owned it privately, right?
Yes, it was a private car.
So that's what you can do at these tracks. You can bring your private vehicle.
I wonder if insurance covers you there.
You do get special insurance, so I'm pretty sure you would have taken insurance just for that event.
Well, it was quite funny on this day that we visited the track. One of the property owners who was there drives a Jaguar day to day, and one of the track owners took the Jaguar around on the track just for fun. And the owner of the vehicle was with us when he received a call from Discovery to say, we have noticed that your car is going at really high speeds. And now you must know that this track doesn't even feature on Google Maps yet. So to them, it must have looked like he was in the felt.
Are you having an accident?
Yeah, they're like, what's going on?
Oh, he's clearly going through something. They needed to know that. Well, George, what else is happening in the world of motoring this week?
Well, the e-tolls are back on the in the news in that the AA has sent an open letter to the Minister of Transport setting out the fact that the e-toll structure needs to change, and trying to chase old debt is actually futile. So we'll wait to see what the Department of Transport says, but you know, something's got to give. And there's a piece of research done by the AA, and this was the Public, and they asked the public what would convince you to start paying e-tolls. And the answers came back as just over 50% said nothing.
Mm. I'm with them.
And then just over 30% said scrapping of all the debt.
Mm.
And just on 30% also said revised pricing, and then so on and so forth. So it looks like, you know, there is nothing that SANRAL is going to be able to do to make people start to accept this.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I see a lot of people obviously standing up and signing with AA on this one.
Do you guys pay? Mm-mm. Do you have a sensor?
No.
An e-tag?
I know you do.
Yeah, I do, because I'm a conformist.
And then do you pay?
I'll tell you after this.
No, it's fine. Uh-oh.
Some people pay and some people don't, and I don't think there's a right or a wrong answer in terms of paying it. It's the principle of the system that I think the AA is challenging, and the ways in which money is collected. So there's no doubt we've got to pay to drive on our roads, mm-hmm. but what mechanism should that be? What form should that take? You know, and there's an easy way to get money for roads, and that is through the fuel tax. You know, let's wait and see what happens to the e-tolls over time. But they're in a lot of debt. There's a lot of debt there. So I think that's one of the reasons that it's battling to go away, because it's just people are owed money at the end of the day. Second story is that Cape Town started using cutouts for traffic officers.
Yes, I saw this.
Oh, this is like life-sized cutouts of people who should be on duty, or they're pretending to.
The police officer standing behind a cutout. A cutout police officer standing behind a cutout camera, and the theory goes that when a motorist sees a traffic officer behind a camera, they naturally slow down.
Yes,
and motorists have been reporting that they actually do. When they see this cutout and they think it's real, they've reported slowing down. So it does work to slow down traffic, but now it's becoming a little bit of a meme, a joke.
Yeah.
And but the thing is, these cutouts, they've even got lapels on the traffic officer that blow in the wind.
Oh my word.
That's clever.
That's very
so
clever.
Realistic.
So you'll see them all over Cape Town, apparently. They're on the R300, they're on Fishhook. They're in Fishhook, and you know, let's see if it continues.
Look, I think this is smart. Is it the most innovative technology that they could use to curb speeding or people, you know, behaving properly on the roads?
No,
it's probably the cheapest.
And it's funny.
It works.
You know, but as soon as people start to realize that these cutouts, I wonder what that does to the real guys with people that think it's a cutout.
What do you mean?
So if there's a real cop standing there with a real camera and you think that that's a cutout, and then you ignore it.
Or you roll down the window and pull a zap and go.
So, you know, so maybe it could have a negative effect on the real.
It's not a sustainable model.
Yes.
Well, yes. I'm just waiting to go to a friend's house in Cape Town, and they had a drunken night. They're like, look what I stole. They have this cutout. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's
going to happen. And also, what is this thing with people shooting bullets through stop signs and things?
What?
Yeah, they use it as...
People will shoot the...
Oh, that's been happening for a long time. Yeah. It probably happened with these cutouts as well.
Sorry, I missed that. What do
Silly people, stupid people, go and they take their firearms and they decide to use stop signs as target practice.
Mm. So they might do the same.
They might just do the same with the cutouts.
You picture the scene, a dusty old village in the middle of nowhere.
With holes in the signs.
With holes in the signs. Tumbleweed going across the dirt roads.
John Wayne rides up.
Three.
You've seen it before,
shots.
Somewhere in your memory.
But, but the thing is, what happens if some maniac thinks that it's a cutout and it's a real live?
That's
traumatizing. Seer.
That's where I was going with it.
It's going to be really. You have to
all the things that could go wrong.
If you're a traffic cop, will you be cut out for the job?
Oh, you're very. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That's good, actually, Damon.
That was a bit weak. That was good. That was good.
Mm. I was waiting for the track
Ferreira, story. Standard.
Then a lady in the United States has taken the Tesla key card. Now, if you Tesla doesn't have a physical key, even the dongles that we have in today's modern cars, where you don't have to use the key on the car, you just have to be close to the car in order for the car to open. Mm-hmm. Now, Tesla has taken it one step further. They've got an actual credit card style card that, and you can use your mobile phone to open the car, but if you don't have your mobile phone, it's flat, whatever the case may be. You've got this card in your wallet that you rub on the door pillar and the car opens. And what this lady has done is she's soaked her card in acetone to melt all of the plastic so that the chip becomes exposed. She's taken the chip, she's put the chip inside a piece of silicon, and she's gone to a medical professional and embedded this chip into her arm.
Oh my.
So now all she does is walk up to her Tesla and wave her arm. And she's quite young, with funky green hair.
She's going to get a new car soon.
Well, who knows? Maybe they can transfer the coding of this chip into the new car.
What a nutter.
Imagine she writes her car off tomorrow and she's stuck with this outdated chip.
Well, this is not the first time she's done it, you see. So this new idea. This lady's name is Amy Dansby. If you want to go and look it up, there's an actual video of her doing this, which is a little bit gory, so I warn you. So Amy Dansby, and she already has an RFID implant in her hand to get her basic access to things like her front door. You know, for an RFID chip is.
Wow.
And she can access her house with this RFID chip. So she seems to have this fetish with electronic implants.
Quite handy.
I hope.
Damon's on top form today.
Damon, did you also think the story about the track was attractive?
And then finally, the other day, JMPD pulled over a taxi which was overloaded with 12 extra people, as well as an overloaded trailer.
So 12 more people than it should have had.
So this taxi is supposed to take 10 people. They had 22 people in this taxi.
But isn't that normal? Doesn't that happen all the time?
It shouldn't be normal.
It shouldn't.
I just thought it happened all the time. Call me cynical.
We probably don't know how many people get into the average taxi, but 22? I mean, that's two and a bit times.
And what about the extra baggage? Was it a trailer.
And
that was overloaded.
So was he arrested? Was the minibus confiscated?
But there's everything on that trailer. Bicycles and boxes and bags.
So the driver was pulled over and charged with overloading and instructed to reduce the number of passengers as well as the load on the trailer.
So where did the poor passengers go?
They're taking another taxi, I guess.
Yeah, cheapers. It's one thing to just read a story like this and just take it in, but then it's another when you think about it. Yep. You know, let's not be desensitized to things like this. This was, what if it was your child?
Yeah.
I wouldn't want my niece.
But remember, there's also a choice to get in the taxi.
There's
a choice to get in the taxi, and then there's the responsibility of the taxi driver to not allow that to happen. Because, I mean, let's be honest, the taxi's not designed to take, what does the average person weigh? 70 kilos multiplied by 10 people, that's 800 kilos. You've got another 800 odd kilograms in that taxi. Mm. That's dangerous. Mm. That's dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeez. I know there is a choice whether to get into that taxi or not. You may, I mean, I wouldn't get into a taxi that looked like it was
falling apart,
crab walking, or yeah, the chassis was skew or something. But once you're in it, you just have no control and no choice as to what's going to happen. And it scares me.
Mm. It's scary. I mean, I suppose the worst part is if you're one of the first people to get in the taxi and you're under the 10 limit, and then you just see people start. I mean, what do you do? Do you get out?
Kick the emergency window out.
And a lot of these people have no alternative
to
get to work. And
that's
what kind of forces them to actually just swallow this, which is sad. It's so
and
bad.
I mean, would you have the guts to say to a taxi driver, can you please slow down, or can you stop? I want to get off because I don't like you driving.
Most of us don't.
I'm still thinking, I haven't weighed 90 kilograms for a long time.
Oh, Damon.
But in all seriousness, I caught a minibus for a couple of months. I didn't have a car about 15 years ago. And only pleasant experiences. The taxi driver just drove beautifully. There was no hassles. It wasn't overloaded. Polite driving, safe driving. So I was telling this to my colleagues at work the other day, and they said, because you're an Umlungu. So with the new Numlungu, then they behave themselves. Mm. How about that?
No, they probably, when he stops, he says, that's Damon Calvary, watch out.
Yeah.
Well.
Let's take him on a ride.
I sat in the front, I even helped him with the change.
I was going to say, then you had to do the change and the mats and the...
I didn't have to, but I helped.
Offered.
I offered.
I think that's a primary responsibility.
Went via Alex to Santon. It was an interesting, interesting experience.
The life and times of Damon Calvary.
Did you learn all the hand signals?
No.
How did you get him to stop?
They make exceptions for Mlungus. I think they really do. I think they really do.
So you just whistle or go,
I think I just
waved.
Hello, white privilege.
He probably said, I agree with this stupid person. Let's stop.
We'll save
it. Yeah, let's have a laugh. Who wants a laugh? Let's stop.
Oh, shame. The life and times of Damon Calvary will also continue next week. So we'll catch up with you some more, Damon. You are popping in.
Oh, next Friday.
Yes, you are coming back in. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and you're not
going
to be sick that day. You will come in, eh?
Well, I would have been sick today if I knew you were coming in.
She would have stayed in her tent.
Never mind, Damon, we're flipping it around. You'll come on another day when we don't tell Leanne.
No, it's fine. I'm up to the challenge.
Okay. She's another week.
She's conditioned.
You have another week to brace yourself properly.
She's not going to suck her thumb a week.
No, I'll be fine.
George, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Always great hearing from you.
This is CliffCentral.com.